regardless of our race, regardless of our gender, we love one another. Lord, let that happen in this nation.
Circumstance, oh God, that we are in. We are so met by love. We are so met by love. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
None like you, who can hold my heart like you do. All creation sings your song. I will join with them, declaring your glory. Can hold my heart like you. All creation sings your song. I will join with them, declaring your glory. Oh,
we can run straight into your arms, unafraid. Every time we need you, we're met by love. We can lift our arms to heaven unashamed.
That's Jesus.
Cause every time we watch him, we see your face. We can run straight into your arms unafraid. Cause every time you, we're met by love. We can lift our arms to heaven unashamed. 'Cause every time we worship, we see your face.
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 Oh, we see your face.
Oh, we see your face.
We see your face. There is no one like you, Lord. You, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord. You, Lord. And Lord, there is no one like
you, Lord.
You, Lord. You, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord. You, Lord.
We can run straight into your arms unafraid. 'Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. Cause every time we worship, we see your face. We can run straight into your arms unafraid. Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. We can lift our arms to heaven unashamed. Every time we worship, we see your face.
See your face.
We see your face.
We see your
face. We see your face.
We see your face.
We see your face.
We see your face.
Every time we need you, we're met by love. We can lift our arms to heaven unashamed. every time we worship, we see your face. Run straight into your arms, unafraid. Every time we need you, we're met by love. We can lift our arms to heaven,
unashamed, Jesus.
Every time we need you,
this morning, but that's his call to you this morning.
Let me in.
does not force his way into your heart. He's asking you to open the door. Come on, I just want to give you a moment right here as the Lord is wooing you. I don't know what your circumstance is. I don't know where your relationship is with the Lord. But I just sense he's drawing some of you just to come and bow before him and say, all right, Lord, I'm opening up my heart. Come on, if that's you, just run to this altar and say, all right, Lord, I'm opening my heart up to you. I give it to you, Lord. Come on, open up your heart. You can have been in church for years and still have a closed heart because you won't allow him to come in and be Lord. You can go to church and not have him as Lord, but he's saying, I want to be Lord of your life. I want to be Lord. I don't want you to just come to church. I want to be Lord. Come on, hear him say, won't you open up your heart and let me in to the recesses, to the dark places, to every part of your heart. I want to come into the closet of your heart. Come on, it's a call from him this morning. Say, come on in, Lord. Invite him into your heart this morning.
It's gonna be fun. Few minutes, I want us to just forget about being in a church service. I want you to just close your eyes and go into the throne room with Him. Come on, let's just take this time right now to just, if you can picture what Mary did when she came and she sat at His feet. Come on, I want us just to get a glimpse in the next few moments. Not of an agenda, not of trying to please anyone corporately, but let's just go in and sit at His feet for a few moments corporately here. Come on, begin to picture Him. Begin to look into His eyes of love. Come on, there's healing in His eyes. Somebody needs healing in this room this morning. They're in His eyes. They're not in the hands of a preacher. They're in His eyes. Healing is in His eyes. Now come on, this atmosphere is just going to begin to shift, and it's going to begin to get heavy in here. Come on, forget about everything around you, and let's go in to where He is.
My heart beats for you.
Angels are being loosed in this room right now to take us into another realm of His presence. Come on, let's go together.
My eyes are on you, Lord. Beautiful Savior.
Come on, just the music for a while.
Jesus.
Continue on the piano.
accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, making known to us the mystery, the secret of his will, of his plan, of his purpose. And it is this, in accordance with his good pleasure, his merciful intention, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him. He planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ, both things in heaven and things on the earth. In him we also were made God's heritage, his portion, and we obtained an inheritance, for we had been foreordained, chosen and appointed beforehand, so that we who first hoped in Christ, who first put our confidence in him, have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. For the praise of your glory, Lord. For the praise of your glory, God, we live. For the praise of your glory, Father, we live. We live, we move, we have our being in you, Lord.
Worship is not spectating. Worship is active.
Revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the work of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, far above all authority, far above all power and dominion, and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world to come. For he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
What is it you need to see under your feet today? You've been seeing it above your head, and you need to see it under your feet this morning. Come on, something coming against your mind. Don't buy the lie. It's an evil spirit that's come to steal your peace. Speak to it this morning. Yes, Lord, we bless your name. If you have any kind of sickness in your body, I don't want to move from this place. I want us to just stay here for a few minutes. If you have any kind of sickness in your body, though, I want to pray for you. Come forward.
My firm foundation,
come on, we're in heavenly realms right now. This is heavenly realms. I'm not going to belabor this. I'm just going to do what the Lord told me. Come on, if you're out there, stay in heavenly realms. Don't be spectating. Learn how to come into heavenly realms corporately.
Oh, that your eyes,
I rebuke sickness from your body right now.
So that you can know and understand the hope.
It shall not return in the name of Jesus Christ. At the roots, Lord, let it be cursed. Be made whole. Right now, Lord, these thoughts, Lord, we rebuke every thought that's not from you concerning this situation.
I am here with you and me.
Laser surgery in the spirit right now, God. We say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Yo! Be healed in the name of Jesus.
This is where I want to be. I know you. I see you.
Say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Reverse. A reversal. A reversal is coming. Within your body, I say a reversal is coming.
My firm foundation.
Be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Yeah, come on, keep praying, people. Keep focused. Stay in the throne room. He's moving in this place. Every blockage in the spirit is removed right now, God. Yo, joy is coming. The devil's a liar. Joy is coming. Great joy. Great victory. Great joy. Command this body to function as normal. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Show. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name.
Foundation.
Oh,
my firm foundation. Put my trust in you. Oh, my firm foundation.
In the name of Jesus. Shadow is coming. His shadow is coming over you. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
May
hope. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ.
I will put my trust in you alone.
spirit from the enemy, I command you to be loosed right now and go back to the place from whence you came.
I look to you. I look to you. I look to you.
Command fear to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! Shakate! Leave! Loose!
Yeah.
It's a lie. It's all lying vanity. Lying vanity. It's not true. It's a lie. Now Lord, let your shadow come. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, stay in the throne room. No spectating. Let's go and stay in the throne room.
Reto si ministeri o la bobbia sa. I trust in you alone. You are my
diabetes can't live in this body, Lord.
Foundation. I will put
shadow
my
come.
Trust in you alone.
Shadow come.
You are my
in the name of Jesus.
Will put my trust in you alone. You are my firm foundation.
Under the shadow of the Almighty.
I will put my trust in you alone. I will put my trust in you alone.
Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Something repetitive, Lord. I command it to cease and desist right now.
I
command this body to function as normal. Every pattern of sickness, I command it to be gone now. Strength to your bones. Shadow of the Lord, come. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive healing. In Jesus' name,
I
command you to be whole and be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Strength, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
You are my firm foundation.
Yes! Somebody shout unto the Lord in this place. Somebody shout unto the Lord in this place. There's a healer walking in this room. I said there's a healer walking in this room right now. Come on. The man with the nail scars in his hands. Come on. The one who's above every principality and every power and every ruler of darkness. He's the Lord strong and mighty. 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 Jesus Christ, let your shadow come, Lord.
I belong to you. I belong to you.
Yeah, come on.
I belong.
Why don't you just get free and quit spectating and give him the glory to his name? He's worthy. Come on, Allah's dead, but Jesus is alive. Muhammad is dead, but Jesus is alive. Shoko Taspo.
Oh, my firm foundation.
I command your body to be made whole.
You are.
Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ.
My firm foundation.
In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Receive your healing. Receive it.
I put my trust.
Holy Ghost,
I'm running to you and I am saved.
Going into your back right now.
I'm running to you and I am saved.
I decree and I declare.
I am saved.
Ghost is becoming your chiropractor right now, going right on the inside of your bones and finding the spot. Gamble, infusion. I hear it, Lord, infusion. Fire to bring infusion. A reconnecting of that which is disconnected. Good. In the name of Jesus Christ. Under your shadow, Lord. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be loose. Be healed.
My firm foundation, I will put my trust in you, Lord. You are my firm
Jireh, the Lord your provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals all your diseases. Come on, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals all your diseases.
Jehovah Rapha,
yo, shut up, yo, completely new, Lord, completely new. No generational sickness, Lord. No generational sickness. Right now, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Normal. Normal. Come on, celebrate His goodness. Celebrate His goodness. He reigns. Come on, I want you to begin to declare. Come on, He reigns over sickness. He reigns over disease. He reigns over infirmity.
And for you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You worthy of it all. You worthy of it all.
If you can, you can begin to make your way back to your seat. If not, stay where you are. It's no problem. Did anybody need prayer for healing that didn't get it? Anybody that needed that didn't get it? Father, we thank you for the shadow of healing right now, God. We say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Supernatural spiritual surgery in this body right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You say move right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Ghost disintegration and explosion. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. By the Holy Spirit, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ according to your word. Loose it. Change, shift, move. Change, shift, move. Shadow of the Most High.
The waters of life.
Come on, if you believe he's a good God this morning, give him a shout of praise in this place. Come on, he's a good God! Come on, he's worthy of all you got this morning! Man, something's stirring in here. Come on, let me have the children come forward, please. Continue to play music. I kind of think I need to preach in this hat. I saw you in this hat yesterday. Don't y'all think that works? Father, we thank you for the children of this house. We say they walk in divine blessing. I see several people here that don't have stickers on. If you are a parent and you bring your kid, make sure they're checked in before you... Just make sure you check them in before you settle into your seat. Father, we thank you right now for the hand of the Lord upon each child. We ask, Lord, that you would cause... the gifts and callings of God, the gifts and callings of God to come alive in their hearts. Yeah, I know you got a lot to say. You'll have a lot to say all your life, so I'm not being mean to you, but you'll have much to say as you grow up. Lord, we ask for the blessings of the Lord to rest on these children. May their eyes be open to see, their ears be open to hear. May you bless everything they do, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. I want to give you an opportunity to sow this morning. We are strongly believing that we don't walk in lack in this house, that we send people to nations. And we're believing for blessing to rest on every home that's a part of this fellowship. We believe for new businesses to be opened and for the blessing of the Lord to rest on you. So, Lord, I just thank you right now for tithes and offerings. I thank you, Lord, that you rebuke the devourer over every home and you cause the blessing of the Lord and you give them kingdom ideas concerning business. And I thank you for that, Lord, that you cause us to that you give us wisdom, financial wisdom for every house as part of us. And we bless you and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, it's a good place to be this morning. I feel that feeling where I don't really know what to do. I could just stay right where I am. But he's a good God. He's a good God. I'm going to give Nina a couple minutes here. Y'all just continue to play for a little bit. I wasn't sure how I was going to go with this. But I'm going to give her, if she wants to take a couple minutes and share with you what she experienced being the hands and feet of Jesus this week. So I want to give her a couple minutes to do that.
Praise the Lord. It was an exciting week. I went up to Marshall County where there was a flooding in Moundsville. Be praying for the people that were affected there. It was very traumatic. There was flood come right down the street, mud. We were digging 2 feet of mud out of some of the houses. But God was moving. And the exciting thing was this little church we actually stayed in, they just seemed like there wasn't a lot going on there. And they said they really needed this. It's like a shot in the arm. And there were 35 salvations by the time the end of the week that I was there. They had been there. I'm praising God. It's been so exciting just to see there were people on that very street that we only worked on a block for the whole week. And they had already been working on it before I got there. And there was like I think, 5 salvations and a dedication just on that block. And we met a godly woman. She just loved the Lord right there. I mean, God just is doing mighty things there. And I was excited to see that, you know, He's working in little places like that where people are crying out. That you only have to have a few, and He's working.
Amen. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, worship team. Bless you. Thank you. That's a picture of what Father's House is going to be about. It's about experiencing the Father's love, and it's not about, if people are going to experience the Father's love, we have to demonstrate the Father's love. And so, you know, we've been trying to get people saved by telling them they're going to hell. That's not a motivator. They know that. That's not a motivation to come to Jesus. Hello? More to come on this public service announcement. However, if they're sick, and now if they were sick and now they're healed, that's an invitation to accept Jesus Christ. If they were poor and now they're rich, that's an invitation to accept Jesus. If they were hungry and now they're filled, we've got to demonstrate love. So that's what you see. There's salvation because you found people at their place of need and you met them at their place of need. Well, this morning, it's a treat for me. I laid hands on Faith last Sunday night. When I laid hands on Faith, she got drafted into the army of the Lord fast. When I laid hands on her, I'm going to start making sure that, you know, it's our goal here to raise up tons and tons and tons of people in ministry. And, you know, I try to get you to dream. You ever been to a church that had 100 ministers? 50 ministers? You ain't been to one that had 5. Not in this house. So we want to begin to give people that we see the hand of the Lord on opportunity to speak some on Sunday mornings. And as I laid hands on Faith, I knew this. The Lord just spoke to me so clearly about her having a gift to speak and to teach. And this morning, as I was getting ready to come here, I got another piece to that puzzle. Here's what the Lord says. No, I am not crying, Lord. I'm not crying, Lord. I felt like I heard the Lord say, anybody in here, we need to show this if you haven't seen it. Have you seen Faith's art? A lot of people in here have not. It's incredible. It's beyond incredible. And what I felt like I heard the Lord say this morning, I really now understood what He was telling me on Sunday night about your speaking. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, in your teaching, you will do the same thing with your words that you do with your hands. You'll have the ability to also paint a picture. That's teaching. To say it in such a way that people understand it. So I believe that. I believe the Lord is going to cause you to do with your mouth what you do with your hands in painting, and you'll be able to paint what the Lord is saying with your words. So she got drafted fast. I said, will you do it? She said, yes, I'll do it. So welcome Faith with me as she comes. Give her a good, warm welcome this morning.
Hey, y'all. All right, y'all are going to have to pray for me because I have not spoken in front of a lot of people in a really long time. But first, I want to thank Pastor Doyle for giving me this opportunity to speak to you all. And I really, really hope that it speaks to you all as much as it spoke to me, because everything that I'm about to tell you came directly from him. Okay, so I want to turn first to Matthew 28:16-20, and this is like, if you don't know this, like, are you saved? Okay. I don't know if you want to put it up there or not, but anyways. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. As I read over the scripture, one word like really popped out to me. And that word would be go. And so many times, y'all, and I'm so guilty of it. Goodness, I'm getting excited. So many times we forget what our job is. And that is what he first commanded us to do, which is go. Go is a verb. It's an action. We have to take action. We forget out there sometimes. We take on life and we forget. We don't submit completely to God. I want to read you the definition to commission, according to Google. It is an instruction, command, or duty to a person or group. We all have individual gifts and callings and purposes that God has placed within us, but we all have the same commission, and that is to go. And if we aren't going, then who is? Who is going to reach those? Who is going? The world is going. Society is going. They're reaching them. It's our job to go. You are commissioned. God was bringing this to my mind. You are commissioned to be a response to the hurt, to the lost, to the broken. And like I said, who will reach them if we do not go? Who will respond? We cannot respond if we refuse to go and to move. And what will happen if we refuse to go and to move? We compromise. I want to read you the definition to compromise. Compromise means to accept standards that are lower than desirable. To accept standards that are lower than desirable. Society has set their standards, but Jesus set his standard with his life and with his word. And what are we doing if we do not live like him? This is what he desires. He desires this. He desires us to go. And we have to keep in mind that we have to completely submit. And sometimes, like, I struggle with this, and I think we all struggle with this, like, completely coming under complete submission, because sometimes we don't really know what it looks like. But if you don't go outside this house every day and you don't share love to somebody or hope to somebody or even do like a random act of kindness for someone, if you don't do that every single day, then what are you doing? You're not spreading Jesus. You're being stagnant. You're being complacent. You're not moving. You're not doing the work that he has commanded you to do. And we have no problem submitting in church. We have no problem when the service is hype and whenever, you know, we get really excited. We get lost in worship. We get lost in prayer. And all those things are okay. But what about whenever we're living life and it's hard and it's uncomfortable? Guys, we have to get uncomfortable for God. It's time. It's just time. We have to push ourselves. We have to go to the limit of ourselves. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. He doesn't promise us that it's going to be easy. I want to read you the definition of submit now. Accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. This like totally slapped me in my face whenever I read this, because it was like he was saying, do you bend to my will every day? Do you yield to my command every day? Every single day, y'all. Reading the Bible isn't enough. Just praying isn't enough. We have to do. We have to take action. We have to go. We have to put what we say to action and live it out. Do we accept and yield to his will when it's hard, when it's uncomfortable, when he calls us to witness, even when all of our flesh rises up against us? What he commands us to do. People's souls are on the lines of our obedience. We have to keep this in mind. We cannot hesitate anymore whenever God is urging us to go pray with somebody or speak a word to somebody. And we're like, oh gosh, I don't know if that's for them. I don't know if I can do that, God. I don't know if, you know, I'll be able to get the words out right. Do it anyways. Do it through fear. Do it through the uncomfort. Jesus, okay. We have to boldly pursue souls because God chose to boldly pursue us. And sometimes we have the tendency to second-guess ourselves or doubt his commands. And God really revealed something to me through this. Excuse me. And why this happens. Whenever you're at school or on your job or just anywhere really, like you could be walking down the street and you feel this, you know, urge to go do something, to speak a word to somebody. But do you ever get kind of tense inside and kind of hesitate for a second and you question God? Do you know what this is, this cringe, this questioning and resisting within you? Well, God spoke this to me and he said, it is your spirit recognizing its need for a higher authority, for a higher power, and for higher help. Because Jesus knows that to be impactful, we must remain humble. He knows if this uneasiness wasn't within us at all, that we would get the tendency to think that power and authority rests all within us. But guys, we have to remember where the source comes from. We have to remember that it's within him and not us. And I found it funny because I lost my bracelet. I found it funny because you read this verse and in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He makes a point to say that first before he says go. He could have just said go and we would have went and we would have thought, oh, I'm amazing. Wow, like look at that. But he said, all authority rests in me. Remember that. You got to remember that. We simply cannot choose any longer to yield to our second guessing or questioning or cringing anymore. Our job is to yield to his will and go. And yes, like I said, it's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to have to sacrifice. We might even have to sacrifice everything. But is he worth it? Isn't he worth it? Isn't he worth everything? Isn't he worth the uncomfort and the hardship that it may take? Okay, now I want to do a little illustration because God just like randomly gave it to me this morning. So y'all come on up. Really quick. All right. Okay, so let's say Rebecca is the world. Sorry, sis. All of, well, it's not a bad thing. All of the, this is everyone who needs to be reached, who hasn't been reached yet. This is the lost. This is the hurting. This is the hopeless. This is us. We are right here. Look how far she is. Their arms reach. Their arms reach away from us. We have the tools. We have the wisdom. We have the instructions. All we got to do is reach. That's all we have to do. It's not hard. Thanks, you guys. It's not hard. They are arms reach, you guys. Arms reach. Souls are right there outside of those doors. We have to stop resisting and start reaching. We cannot afford to not reach anymore. We cannot afford to yield to our questioning and our second guessing anymore. We can't. The kingdom of God cannot afford it. So I want to leave you with this. God is calling us forth to have unwavering willingness. He is challenging us to submit control, complete control, and courageously obey his commands and boldly live out his commission, knowing that that authority rests within him. So what will you choose? Commission or compromise? Thank you.
I told you so. Wow. You understand how many things were said there in a few minutes? Let me tell you some of them. You are commissioned to be a response to the needs of the world. Lordy. We have to get uncomfortable for God. Do you bend to his will every day? People's souls... Listen, this is Twitter-worthy right here. People's souls are on the lines of our obedience. Wow. Stop resisting and start reaching. So, I told you so. That was awesome. That's exactly what I saw. I saw the... can't hear myself here. I don't know if y'all got that on still yet, but I need it. Anyway, that's exactly what I saw. Did you see that? Did you see how her teaching painted something? You saw something that you hadn't seen. And I believe that's the grace on her life. And we sometimes think that being prophetic means doing all kinds of goofy stuff, being a fruit flake or nut for Jesus, when the greatest depth of prophetic anointing is in being able to teach and expound in such a way that it comes alive to you. So I believe that the Lord is going to use her in a major way to be a prophetic teacher, where what she releases just goes into you and really begins to shift things. So there's a strong prophetic teaching mantle on her. Today, I'm going to be very practical with you. Today, I'm going to teach you just like you came to a mentor class and just like you came to a class, because I want you to understand something. I want you to understand and again, as we move forward in coming days, I will unfold more and more of what does it look like to be a part of Father's House International Church. But one thing I want you to understand is, going back to the teaching, I'm gonna hang with vision today. There's some things I need to get you to understand about vision. And in the traditional sense of church, you didn't have vision. Your job was to come to church and pay your tithes so some big shot could do his vision. You have to get out of that. In this house, if I'm freezing, it's cold. There's a first time for everything. You just saw one. But in this house, it's not going to be that way. Please hear me. We want everyone who is a part of this house to have a vision. And how this house is going to work. How do you impact a region, a state? How do you impact nations of the earth? See, we're not here to build a church. We're here to take a city. We're here to impact a region. We're here to send people to the nations of the earth. Visionless people do nothing but sit on pews. And for the vision of the overall house to come to pass, it means every person needs to begin to get vision of their own, because individual vision is what's supposed to make corporate vision. No human being, no matter how great the vision is from God, can complete that vision on their own. That vision must be placed in the hands of others who have individual vision that come into and are swallowed up in or covered by the overall vision. So in other words, if the Lord raises up an apostle, a man or a woman with a vision for a territory, he will also put beside him and cause to come to him those who have individual visions. He cannot fulfill the overall vision without them. However, they cannot fulfill their individual wisdom without apostolic oversight and grace. So we have all these people running around, and we don't even believe in apostles, number one. We just believe in pastors. We don't believe in apostles, and apostles are not gifted to get what's on the inside of you out. So what happens in a house like this is, you don't sit on a bench. We have no desire for you to sit. I don't want you to sit and look at me. I know how horrible a job that is. No, you're on this earth for a reason. And you have to begin to get vision for your life. Why is the church not effective? Let's take it back to what she's saying, because about five go. The rest sit. What would happen alone if we just had 100 people? See, I told you the vision is for at least 100 ministries out of this one house. 100 different types of ministry happening in this place. Well, you know what that is? That's effective. That's when the government calls you when somebody needs a house. That's when the government begins to look at you and say, hey, I know a church down the street that can handle your situation. Well, I wonder how long it's been since a judge said, here's your judgment, sir. I'm going to loose you to the church down the street. This is your sins. There's a church down the street that'll get you straightened up, and it won't cost us any tax money. So we're going to send you there because they know how to get you sober. They know how to get you free. They know how to get you delivered. Now I'm about to preach. You have to get vision. Now, I shared this with you earlier in a few weeks ago. If that's the case, if there's going to be 100 ministries out of this house, I'm going to give you opportunity right here. It will not obligate you, maybe. I meant to get, can you write for me? I want you to begin to throw out, because I think the Lord's already speaking to people. I just want to write some things down. I want you to. I want somebody to throw out some things to me that you see as a ministry that could be done. I'm going to tell you some that have already come to me. Think about this. One person in the room said to me, "This is called vision. Here's what I see. How about we gather all the men in our church," and I said, not even in our church, "we begin to pull in even other people from the community, and we begin to get a team of people who know how to build and repair and do plumbing, and we find people that, old ladies and widows and people who are poor that can't get the stuff done, and guess who does it?" You got something you need repaired in your house? We've got a team of people in ministry in our church. We have a relationship with a place called World Vision who can send us doors, floors, all kinds of stuff. You don't call the stinking government, which is broke anymore. There's a church on the block that you can call and say, "Hey," and they come and do it free. Hello?
Well, I don't see how... I never.
You mean that's ministry? I thought you meant. Huh? No, that's where they're going to hell at. They're not in here, they're out there. Hello? You got to begin to think. See, there's vision locked up in a lot of people in this room, and you didn't think it was spiritual. I mean, that's spiritual? Yeah, because we've made it all about being in the church. Out there's where the action is. Somebody else said something to me about a Father's House Christian daycare. Now, I want you to think about that. For the first thing you thought was, "Oh my God, kids." When it was said to me, the instant thing I thought is, you think about the power of that. You think about that heathen that's dropping their child off to you. And what they don't know is you're back there going, "Sheto korabaseketo. I command the destiny in you to come out. I prophesy over this child every day you drop it off. And it's your house is going to begin to change because you chose my daycare." Joseph might be in that crib. Isaiah might be in that crib. The Apostle Paul might be in that crib. And you just thought you needed daycare, but you happened to come to the house of a prophet and drop your baby off there. And they begin to declare and pray over that thing. And strange things start happening in your house because that baby, every time you pick it up, is being doused in the Holy Ghost. Man, I feel Jesus all up in here. Did go to black church for a long time, so comes out every now and then. I can't get no help in here. Then somebody else said, this is vision right here. Been asked twice. What about starting a school? The Baptists got all the schools. Yeah. And they don't believe in talking in tongues. Sent my kid to one for years. Gave him all kinds of my money. Don't even believe in tongue talking. Don't even believe in apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. How about a school that doesn't just teach them arithmetic, but teaches them gomatik, whatever that is. Gomatik. Everybody who comes through these doors, so many people look at me and say, I have learned more. I've heard this over and over. I've learned more in the last 6 months than I've learned my entire serving the Lord, and I've been serving Him for 30 years. What have you got the kids? What if somebody had gotten you 30 years ago before you got into all that religious garbage? What if somebody was teaching you about prophecy? Hello? Now it's your turn. I want you to throw out some ministries to me right now. Single Parents Ministry. Soup Kitchen. Music School. Oh, I already thought about that one. Yes. Come on. Keep it rolling. Helping abuse kids. You can laugh at that boy, but that right there rocks. You can ask Bubba to come to church 100 times and he won't come. But you take him fishing. What was Jesus about? Come on, it was sportsmen that Jesus chose. It wasn't sissies sitting on a bank somewhere in a golf shirt. Come on, keep it rolling. Absolutely true. Halfway house for women out of prison. And men. You might as well add men to that. Come on, what else? Elderly daycare. Brilliant, superb idea. You think about what she just said, folks. I've fallen and I can't get up. What about instead of pushing a little button, you have a church of volunteers who love their community so much that they'll go check on Granny once a day for you. Are you hearing me? We already had Soup Kitchen twice. That must mean the Lord's in it. Drug and Alcohol Deliverance Program. Whew, an orphanage. Come on. Said it for years. Helping people transition out of the lifestyle into getting a job and knowing how to live. Most people, I want to say 80-some percent of people end up back in prison. Why? Because they can't make the adjustment to life. I saw this in North Carolina. What about a businessman who his whole mission, he's involved in construction or something like that, and guess who his employees are? He finds these people that have been in prison, and he begins. But see, here's the whole thing. You're going to hear this word. This is where we're going. The number one mission of this house, we won't just have church, we'll be making disciples. Discipleship is something I'm going to hit heavily here. So now that guy thinks he got a job. Yes, you helped him transition out of prison and you gave him a job, but every morning he's in Bible study. Every morning he's learning how not to beat his wife anymore. Hello? Come on, keep going. You're doing good. Better than I ever dreamed. Transportation service? Absolutely. What are you doing? If you don't work during the day, what are you doing? You could take Granny to Walmart. We'd pray extra for you if you had to go on the first of the month. We all know it's crazy over on the first of the month. Say that again. Absolutely. Homosexual ministry, helping homosexuals come out of their lifestyle. Instead of yelling at them with a megaphone on the street, telling them they're going to hell, how about we love them right where they are? Oh, really? It's time for rednecks to love homosexuals. Did you hear what I said? Come on, keep going. Y'all doing good. I might not get to preach. Helping people grow their own food. That does not include marijuana. That's a very good thing he said right there. Oh, my. Come on with that all day long. A radio station, he said. I got to move. I'll just have to come back to all these. A radio station, man. Canning and sewing, you said? Amen to that. Life skill stuff. Parenting. Say that again. Homeless people. Come on, keep letting it roll. Say that again. A cleaning service. It down. How many people could you lead it? How many people could you get saved and lead into heaven right before they die if you did this? See, we live in such a Bible Belt place. We think everybody's heard the gospel. They ain't heard the gospel. They may not have heard it. All right, keep going. I'll give you a couple more minutes. Absolutely. They come to the church when they're getting ready to have an abortion and they get an informed decision, not one from Planned Parenthood who wants to kill the baby so it can get millions of dollars. That is very high on my list. Going to the hospital and praying for people. So you have to understand this. You got to get out of the mindset. What I'm trying to get you to do, an apostle's job is to work himself out of the job. If you understand good leadership, the only thing I'm supposed to have to do is the things that only I can do. Did you hear what I told you? I shouldn't have to visit anybody because I got a team that does that. I'm trying to get your mind to shift to what apostolic church is. See, you got to get it. If you're going to grow to hundreds of people, you can't be wanting your preacher to come and see you. Because if there's 1,000 people in that house, your preacher can't manifest in 1,000 places. But he can raise up a team of people who are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire to go pray for you. Are you seeing what I'm trying to get you to come into here? All right, I got to do some teaching. So anybody, throw one or two out more. We'll come back to this. Prostitution. Reaching out to prostitutes. You know why they probably stay prostitutes? Can't get a job. Don't know how. Don't have life skills. A lot of this goes back to life skills. So your job this week is to think about more. I'll give you a chance next week to add something to the list. But I'm going to teach you some very practical things. I'm going to share some things with you today that I have studied and men who have helped me in this thing about vision. So I want you to see. Now, do you understand how many things we came up with right there? What are you going to do about that? Well, I'm going to wait for the preacher. And maybe you were having a... Jeremiah Johnson's coming in September, so maybe he'll point me out and say, hey, you know that word that you said down there when the pastor was preaching? The Lord really wants you to do that. 27 things in 10 minutes. And all are legitimate and need done. Go. So, if that is the case, what are you going to do about it? Do you like sitting on a pew? Do you get bored sitting on a pew? I do. If you've ever been around me, you know I don't like sitting still very long. So I want to share some practical things with you. You'll probably want to go back and you know, if I don't get through all these, I'll post them, some more of them, because I got a lot to tell you. But you have to develop vision. Helen Keller was asked. Helen Keller was blind. Helen Keller was asked, what is worse than being blind? You know what her immediate response was? She replied, what's worse than being blind is having sight with no vision. Welcome to the church. Everybody can see, but they don't have vision. So she said, I would, now think about what she's saying. She said, I would rather be blind and have vision than be able to see and have no vision. The poorest person in the world is the one with no vision. You may not realize it, but you're in poor. You're in a poor situation if you have no vision. Why, you have no reason to get up tomorrow. There has to be more than getting up tomorrow to get a paycheck. There has to be something unique on the inside of you to cause you to have passion in your life. The poorest person in the world is a person with no vision. Now, the scripture we know clearly says, I'm going to run through these quick again, but if you, the scripture says, where there's no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a vision, you are perishing. You are dying right where you're sitting today. To perish means this. If you don't have a vision, you'll be unbridled, uncontrolled, and unrestrained. You'll be out of control. You'll be rebellious. The popo's coming for you. And your issue is not that you're stupid, it's that you got no vision for your life. So you toke and you smoke and you shoot. If you have no vision, you'll be perish means naked. You'll be uncovered, unprotected, left exposed. You'll have no protection in your life. If you have no vision, you'll be unready, unprepared. If opportunity comes, you won't even be able to step into it because you didn't have any vision to prepare for it. The material I'm sharing with you today, you know how long ago I studied this material? Years. Long before you showed up, but I saw you before you got here. Withdrawn. Someone without a vision will be withdrawn and unwilling to work. We got a poverty problem and we got a lazy problem in southern West Virginia because we have a vision problem in southern West Virginia. Well, there just ain't no jobs here. Granny was on welfare and Uncle was on welfare and I guess that's where I'll be. No vision. I like to have about 5 minutes to speak to the government. Unteachable. Unravel. Unbraid. Your life begins to unravel. So now I'm going to tell you, you got to get a vision for your life. And I'm going to explain some things. I'm going to give you some principles here. Vision is the ability to see the invisible. That's what vision is. The Hebrew word for vision is the word chazon. C-H-A-Z-O-N. It's the ability to see something that does not yet exist and begin to function as if it does exist. You weren't here when I told my wife we're planting a church. And she said, oh my God. But you're here now. It's the ability to see something that's not yet able to be seen. Now, whether you realize it or not, you just did that 27 times in this room. Whether you realize it or not, you saw something that's not here yet. Yeah. That's called vision. Yeah. A visionary is a seer. They see something becoming reality as if it were already there. I love this story. If you've heard it, you're going to hear it again. If you've not, get some revelation. On October 1st, 1971, 5 years after the Walt Disney passed away, Disney World had its grand opening 5 years after he died. During the dedication ceremony, someone turned to Mrs. Disney and said, "Isn't it a shame that Walt didn't live to see this?" Mrs. Disney's reply was, "He did see it. That's why it's here." The Greek word for vision is skopos. It means a mark on which to fix your eyes, just like the goal line toward which a runner looks. How many football fans I got in here? Take the two goal lines out of the game and tell me how what in the heck you do. I want you to play football with no goal lines. Just take them out of the mix. All you're going to get is sweaty and tired and frustrated. Because at some point, once you start to get tired, you're going to start saying, what is the purpose of this? What are we doing this for? I'm out of energy. What are we doing this for? But as long as there's that little goal line over there to go across, you know what you're out there for. The Lord wants to give you vision in your life so you know when you score a touchdown. See, you don't even know if you're successful or not if you don't have vision. If you don't have a mark you're going after, how do you know whether you're successful or not? Vision is that mark, that goal line. How are you going to know when you die, when you get ready to die, if you've been successful or not? It's impossible for you to know the answer to that if at some point you didn't sit down and set a target. You better ponder on that. You could have all, you could be a multimillionaire and die unsuccessful because you never hit the mark that you were intended to hit. It's quiet. Vision is a clear and precise mental portrait of a preferable future imparted by God. Now, I'm going to go here, and then I think Gabe probably has some of these. You don't have these. I'm going to get into what I told you to do for me here in a little bit. But the most popular scripture about vision is Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4. Do you have it? That ain't it. I might have told you. Probably did. Anyway, the scripture is the part about writing the vision, making it plain. You go back and study it. It's my fault. I gave him the wrong thing. Okay, back up one. Now here, I want to show you real quickly. If you're going to be a person of vision, you have to understand the principles of vision. I'm going to share for the next few minutes a lot of principles of vision. But in this portion of Scripture, we find several principles of vision. Do not violate them. They are not there just to take up space in your King James Bible. Your future is contained in this portion of Scripture. So let's say those things that you threw out to me, you want to do those things. That's God working in you. Then you've got to have these principles in place. Then the Lord answered me and he said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. The first principle here is documentation. You have to write down vision. I hear you hard-headed people saying, well, I can remember it. I don't need to write it down. When I started in the insurance industry, they told me in my 3 weeks of training, they gave me a sheet and said, now I want you to write down what your life will look like in 10 years. I want you to write what your life will look like in 20 years. 90% of the time, if you wrote it down in 20 years, that's what you had. There's something about writing it down. Please don't miss what I'm telling you. It's in the Word. The principle is write it down. Document it. The principle of documentation. Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. Go ahead. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Now here's your principles out of that. Number one, document it. Write it down. Number two, he said make it plain. Simplify. The simpler you make your vision, the easier it is to hit. You don't need some big, long, 14-paragraph thing. Yes, the Lord will come back and you will need to fill in details as you go. But you need to simplify what you're on this planet for. Why did I tell you mine was? Somebody tell me what mine is. See if y'all was listening or not. He encouraged me. It don't get no more simple than that. It might have been with a kick in the seat of your pants. It might have been with a stern word. It might have been with something sharp. But it encouraged you to do something, even if it was leave. What are you here for? What are you on this planet for? Why do you get out of the bed every morning? Do you know? Simplify. Most people are getting out of a bed every morning to make a living. That sucks really bad. Documentation, simplification. Then he said, give it to others. Shared. The principle of sharing. Unless you share your vision, no one will ever be able to run with it. I hear you. I've said it before, but I say it a different way. You know where the greatest visions in the world are right now? The graveyard. Somebody died with it and never shared it. Do you know multimillionaires, potential multimillionaires, are in the grave because they had an idea they never had the courage to share? What idea you got right now? Shoot, I might be able to not be able to sleep and go flipping through my TV at 3 o'clock at night and see your little gadget on there that you come up with. The principle of participation. Let them run with it. Do you know some people never fulfill their destiny? Because they're too afraid to let people run with it. They want to control it all. Some people want a big church, but they want to do all the preaching. Did you hear what I said? The participation has to come. You got to be let other people do it. You got to turn your baby over to other people. You learning anything? Thank Miles Monroe. Vision requires faith and prayer. You cannot sit on your blessed assurance. It is active. You must pray. You must fast. You must work. Here's one for you. Vision requires, I skipped way ahead. Maybe, no, I didn't either. Timing. It says the vision is for an appointed time. There's the principle of timing. There's the principle of patience. It says wait for it. I would hate to see how many people stopped just short of destiny because it took longer than they thought it should take. But the reality is God always lets it take time because you're not ready to walk in it. It's you that's the issue. Your character cannot go where your vision, the picture of your vision, you don't have the character to walk in it. So the patience is you qualifying to walk in it. You want the Lord to send you 1,000 people when you can't get along with the neighbor beside you. You want him to use you to affect people when you don't even like people. They get on your nerves. Vision is always about them, not you. A true vision from God will never be selfish. It will always be about others. If it's about you, it ain't gonna work. If it's about you getting rich and you getting famous, gotta move fast. Then we have the principle of faith. Wait for it. It will certainly come. See, I'm telling you, I live this. There's times I thought, what am I doing looking at Tim and Becky and Donnie on a Friday night? Nobody ain't ever gonna come to this. But faith rises up and says, hang on, they're coming. Hang on, they're coming. Takes faith. Now, let me give you some realities of vision. There is no way out of the things that I'm telling you this morning. Please take these and understand them. Understand how vision works. Number one, I'm going to go through these quickly. I didn't be able to get through all these, but I'm going to. Number one, vision demands change. That's the nature of vision. Vision is not the whole thing about vision. Now we went in here and we got 27 different things this morning. What did every one of those require? Change. Somebody's not making soup now. They got to start making soup. Vision always demands change. That's why when you come into an apostolic church or a church of an apostles and prophets where they function, their message is going to challenge you. Because the message is going to be change. That's uncomfortable. Nobody likes change. That's uncomfortable for me. I see people come and go here all the time, and that's why they're uncomfortable. Because I want you to change. The mark and testimony of this ministry is when I hear, hey, I've changed more in 6 months here than I have ever changed in my life. Vision demands change. Next, vision requires risk. There is absolutely no risk is inevitable with vision. If you're not willing to take a risk, you will not fulfill vision. It's risky business, said Dusty Rhodes. And many people will die disappointed. When they come to the end of their life, they'll be disappointed because they never got off the sidelines and at least tried. Because it was a risk. Vision requires risk. Vision requires hard work and sacrificial giving. There are no people who fulfill vision are not passive. You can't. Passivity and vision doesn't work. It's labor. But as I told you before, if you're doing what you're put on earth to do, you'll never work a day in your life. What you look at as work, I look at as fun because it's what's on the inside of me. It's not toil for me. It's work, but it's not toil. It requires hard work and it requires sacrificial giving. Better hear me now. Some people get in a fetal position right here. Next, vision attracts attack. You shouldn't be surprised when somebody starts to attack when you step out on vision. They're going to, because they can't see what you see. People are always going to attack vision. One of the things that sets people apart that are visionary and see things come to pass is they listen to the right people and they ignore the wrong people. Oh, what did I read somewhere in the night? I wish I could pull that back up. It was said by T.D. Jakes on Facebook. Somebody posted it. Who saw that? Oh my, I wish I'd have wrote that down. I knew I should have wrote that down. But see, the people that are attacking you, basically what it said is, you're a giraffe, they're an ant. They have ant vision. So you're letting an ant, they're only judging things by where they can see it. But you're seeing it from up here. Why on earth would you let somebody who's seeing it from down there affect what you're seeing up here? People do it all the time. Listen to people that are... I ain't gonna say it that way. If you take your advice from Bubba, and Bubba's broke, you're a fool. If Bubba has done nothing but sit on the couch for the last 10 years and flip with a remote, why do you let his negativity about your vision stop you? Do you want Bubba's life? Then don't listen to Bubba's advice. And so many people listen to the naysayers who don't have any sense. Dumb as a rock in some cases. But you let that stop your progress. I don't care about the naysayers in my life. I'm not going to waste my time telling them anything. I'll show them years later. I don't have to tell you. I'm going to show you. So your opinion matters not to me. I have vision. There's a great, with vision, if you'll stick with it, there'll come a great, great nanny, nanny, boo, boo moment in your life. But if you let people who can't see what you can see influence you, you will live a life of regret. Well, you can't start a business. Vision requires faith and prayer. Vision requires unity. You cannot do it by yourself. You need some help. Two have a good reward for their labor. If one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Over 5,000 body parts functioning in you right now is the reason you were able to walk in here this morning. They're in unity. They're not fighting with one another. Toes are being toes. Fingers are being fingers. That's what it's going to take for vision to come to pass. Vision takes supernatural provision. There is a supernatural element to it. Vision requires... Go to the next one, Gabe. Heard that at all today? Go! Nobody has ever fulfilled vision sitting. Well, what are you doing today, man? I'm waiting on vision to come. I checked the mail. I've checked the mail. I've done everything. It's just not showing up, man. Do you think it got lost in the mail or something? You'll die right here in this spot. Oh, I hear the Holy Ghost. Why sit ye here till you die? Action. Vision takes action. I covered this a couple weeks ago. Vision is a product of purpose. Love this definition right here. What is vision? Vision is documented purpose. You can't walk in vision until you know your purpose, because your purpose, vision stems from purpose. Purpose is you realizing what you're put on earth to do. Vision is you making a plan and mapping out how you're going to do that. You could be called to be an evangelist. Billy Graham was called to be an evangelist. Reinhard Bonnke was called to be an evangelist. Both had visions of evangelism. Billy Graham's, if I say Billy Graham, it's clear. Stadium events. If I say a Reinhard Bonnke, millions of people in a field somewhere in Africa. Millions at once. So you have to understand that about it's a product of purpose. But I love that definition. Vision is documented purpose. Vision is the source of leadership. You need to understand this. I got other teaching I may do on the mentor class, but you have to understand the essence of leadership is vision. You know why I'm the leader of this place? I'm the one who had the vision. And people came to the vision. If you have no vision, what are people following? The essence of leadership is vision. And people follow vision. That's leadership. Leadership is God giving an individual a vision and him having the ability to get other people to follow the vision that God gave him. That's called leadership, getting people to buy into and follow your vision. Vision is detailed. You can have a mission statement, but a vision statement is different. It's very detailed. It goes into detail about how you will do these things. Vision is unique. Vision is a mirror of the person who has the vision. Nobody else on earth can preach like I do. Thank you, Jesus. They can't do it. Nobody else on earth can have the DNA in their ministry that's in mine. Because vision is unique. And business people have understood this. I can blindfold you. And I guarantee you this will be a fun little experiment right here. I could blindfold you and bring food from McDonald's in here and bring food from Wendy's in here. Without you even being able to see it, you'd know. Why? Vision. Unique. It requires being unique. Vision never maintains status quo. It's all about change. Vision is always future focused. Vision creates self-discipline. I've told you this before. You can't do anything you want to do if you've got vision. I mean, you just can't. It gives you self-discipline. You say no to some things. If the Lord's called you to be in Bluefield and there's a beautiful woman in California, you're going to stay in Bluefield if you understand your vision is in Bluefield, no matter how pretty she is. Did you hear me? I'm going to park on that a little while, young people. I don't care how good her body looks and how much you want to sleep with her. You're going to destroy your life. But if you have vision, you'll say no to some things. You'll keep yourself pure because of the vision. This event, this thing that I'm getting ready to do doesn't line up with the vision that I have. It's just 10 minutes to 1. You haven't even been in church 2 hours yet. You're not Pentecostal unless you stay 2 hours. Okay, let me move fast. Vision is generational. It's not about you. True vision will live when you die. Death can't kill true vision. It goes on if it's real. Walt Disney's been dead for a long time. Sometimes I wish he'd come back. I'd like to talk to him about the nonsense that the place has got going on right now, but that's a message for another day. It's generational. It's passed on. Vision is manifested in phases. Most people don't understand that. You got to know where you are. You got to take the wind when it comes. You've got to be able to see it coming. It's phases. And it's frustrating because you've seen the end result, but you're way back here somewhere. And apostolic prophetic people really struggle with this because I've done seen what it looks like, and I'm frustrated because you ain't acting like I saw you acting. And see, that's where you get that kick in the seat of the pants. That's where you want. We've been trained to be in pastoral leadership where they're always telling us, you're just the greatest thing in earth. You're so great. Just like you are right now, you're great. That's not what apostles do. Hey, I love you where you are right now, but I see you way up there. I see you owning businesses. I see you running corporations. I see you going to nations. It's in phases. Vision is given to individuals. I say, I need you to get that. Vision's not given to churches. It's given to individuals. There will be a vision given to the leader, but he can't do what he's called to do unless the individuals catch their part of the vision. Vision is greater than the visionary. Oh, I could preach on that a while. Vision is more powerful than death. Vision empowers people to action. You don't really have vision if it don't motivate somebody else to do something. What are we going to do about the 27 things we listed in here this morning? Go back and watch it on the live stream and think how great that was? See, I'm praying for the Lord to cause us to get into action. Let me finish up. How you discover your vision. I touched on this some when I was talking about purpose. But you have to, these are true. They're all true. What is my deepest desire? I told you, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll put His desire in your heart. He'll make you start wanting or having a heart for some particular area or some particular thing. What's your deepest desire? What do I want to leave this generation? What do you want your legacy to be when you're gone? I'm telling you, the more I look at this, the more I realize, what is vision? It's you writing your obituary now. I don't want to die. I've always said I ain't going to die. I timed it to where rapture, something's going to happen. I just came in the right moment. But if I should, what do I want my legacy to be? I can tell you the answer. I ain't going to do that. Maybe I will. Hundreds of people who say that man was a father to me. Hundreds of people that say, when I came along, I was here. But after having a relationship with him, I'm here. Do you know what that is in your life? I ain't worried about people telling me I'm great. I want to come to the end of my life and have all kinds of people say, he impacted my life for the better. He changed my family. His love changed us. What do you want your legacy to be? What's the ideal that never leaves you? It's him 99.99% of the time. If you keep coming back to it, he's probably in it, unless you're living in sin. If you're loving Jesus and delighting yourself in his word and in worship, and you keep going back to something over and over and over, it's probably him. What do you constantly imagine about your future? What are you passionate about? What one thing would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? If I gave you it's impossible for you to fail. What would you do today? It's probably it. What do you see your future looking like? What are your constant reoccurring thoughts and dreams? What would bring you the greatest fulfillment in your life? And see, because we grew up in a religious mindset, we don't really think that we can have a good, fulfilled life. We think being a Christian, we're supposed to be miserable. I'm helping you right now. We don't really realize that doing what God called us to do could be actually fun and us enjoy it. We thought it's supposed to be that just thing that we just can't hardly bear. We got this old cross to bear. If I can just hold on a little longer, I'll be rejoicing in heaven someday. I can sing it for you if you want me to. I prefer not to, but I can. So I just want you to begin to think. I want you to begin to dream. I want you to begin to, I don't care how old you are in this room, I'd break that out of your mindset right now, that I'm too old thing. Or if I wish I'd have found Jesus when I was young. I wish I'd have had this revelation when I'm young. I think there's somebody in the Bible that says he renewed their strength like the eagles in their old age. And the one reason, if you're feeling bogged down right now and you don't have much energy, it ain't cause your health. It's cause you don't have any vision. Vision causes you to come alive. It causes you to want to get up in the morning. It causes fuel to flow in you. So, Father, I thank you today that you have placed this ministry right here. I thank you that you've placed these people right here. I thank you that you have caused our paths and our lives to come together and join one another. And I just ask you right now, Lord, that you would cause fresh vision in the days ahead. Let every person in this room begin to get vision for what you have purposed them for. And I thank you for it, Lord. We believe that you're going to cause us as a ministry to hit the mark. We believe that you're going to raise up sons and daughters that impact the world. Lord, give us people, I'm about to prophesy to you, Lord, give us people in the news media that when we turn on Fox News, one of our own sons and daughters are sitting in that place being interviewed. We ask for it right now, God. We ask for people that break barriers to come out of the loins of this house. We ask for record breakers and record makers to come out of the loins of this place, God. We ask for evangelists, pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers that impact the entire nations of the world to come from this house. We ask for books to be written right here out of this house, Lord, that are bestsellers. We just say, let vision begin to permeate every person in this place. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you for it. We ask for protection over every family in this place. We ask for blessing over every family in this place. We honor you and we thank you and we bless you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed... Let me tell you something real quick. We probably will be painting.